And then there were four.
Four!
Nah, dude, not that kind of four.
Four men, four minds, eight fists, and a heap of silliness. They've traded in the bedroom for a proper studio.
And as always, these gents will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come down to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Kayleen. Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Scotty.
Yes, I died for 6 minutes. No, there wasn't a lie.
Masters.
Ben. In Soviet Russia, I punch you.
Edwards.
Steve.
Hey, baby, want to see my microphone payoffs? And Duke.
How good do my abs look?
Didier.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, season 3, episode 24, or episode 71 for those playing along at home in total. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm back.
You are back. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Don't say, did you miss me? I'm Duke.
Stevie P.
Boys, it's going to be a big episode. So much so that I think we're going to combine Biff and Talking Takedowns again, because let's be honest, the whole world is talking about what happened at
let's
UFC
just
2.
We're talking about the Conor Khabib fight, but not the Conor Khabib fight.
No,
but
who knew that a fight broke out at a fight?
We're talking about the Khabib Dylan Danis fight.
Drama.
Bloody hell. Just, yeah, sitting on the lounge flicking between that and Bathurst.
Have you seen all
just,
the footage of it?
I just saw one as I was pulling up in the car. I mean, I pulled up and then looked at my phone.
Sure.
And there was girls going at it. Yeah. You have a look at this. Yeah. There was like Russian ladies and Irish ladies just full flogging each other. Yeah. Handbag swipes, the lot.
Luke Lewis was 10 rows back from the Sharks. He was 10 rows back.
And what'd you do, Lewis? Nothing.
Well, yeah. No.
Pussy.
Well, he said they got stuck there for an hour and they went outside in the arena and people were just punching on in the arena.
Yeah, like, yeah. There's been so much.
Pick a side, Lewis, you dog.
There's been so many Twitter videos as well, which have just people punching on in the Vegas casinos.
But how about the initial, oh, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it. We could go all day, and we probably will.
We will talk about it. And it's overshadowed, and I know you're going to bring it up, Ben, but one of the best post-fight interviews ever, Derek Lewis, was just sensational.
He had hot balls, man.
Don't spoil it.
That on the way, and plenty more. A cracking listener question, obviously, about the whole Khabib thing. It came through to our Facebook page about 5 minutes after all of that ended yesterday. Steve, plenty of sport to get through, of course. Bathurst, it's normally that quiet
first cab off the rank, Scotty.
Yeah, we'll get stuck into
first
that
first cab off the rank, Big Bathurst.
And week in review coming up for you too. So let's get stuck straight into it because I want to hear what these boys have got to say about the UFC. The Living End's new album, Wunderbar, is out. This is the third single from it. It's called Other Side. Kicking off the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, season 3, episode 24.
Yeah.
This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. As Scotty mentioned, 71st episode in total. That was Other Side by The Living, and it is the third song from their new album, Wunderbar. So, boys, what a...
Well, you like that?
That was good.
It was good.
Thanks, mate. Good. What a fantastic weekend it was, and that means it's time for...
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-O-Rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
And it's also time for this.
And now it's time for Talking Takedowns. With the man who has a tattoo of Bon Jovi on his left ass cheek.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome Duke Didier.
Yes, Talking Biff-O-Rama.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Gang Fight Breakdowns with Duke.
You've been thinking about that since yesterday afternoon.
He's had it already, hasn't it, since 4 p.m. yesterday.
I'm a consummate professional.
All right, everyone wants to hear your take on this,
well,
boys.
I'm just going to blame the soccer hooligans for setting the standard. No, I'm just kidding.
Blame away, baby, because well, you loved it. We
it's
all
a
did.
Shame because it took away from a phenomenal performance from Khabib, fourth round sub from a neck crank.
Yeah, well, that was not a rear naked choke.
No, it was
that was a neck crank. That was a neck crank.
So, Duke's done that to me. It's horrific. You just feel like your jaw's going to pop off your skull. It's a horrific feeling.
Yeah, so basically the way it works is if you can't get under the chin, but you know everything's tight, everything's locked in, and you give it a good squeeze, well, it feels like your jaw's going
to
break.
Like literally, you feel your mandibles about to just explode off your head, man. It's a horrific feeling.
It's as bad as any kind of limb submission. You immediately tap. There's no if you hold on, you don't get choked out, you break your jaw.
So that would have happened if he because you could just see the pain in his face. That hurt.
It didn't last very long. What was it, 3 or 4 seconds and he was out.
It's even like people like think, oh, I wouldn't tap to a choke, you just go to sleep. It's not true, man. Even if Duke's like got that choke on me, like a proper rear naked choke, if he just twists it one little way, you feel like your neck's going
to
snap.
Yeah. So talk to me, boys. So in that position, if you're Conor McGregor, it was just a simple case that you hang on any longer, you are in serious physical trauma.
That's a life-changing injury.
There was no...
One thing I wanted to ask, was there any chance of like a neck break if he sort of went around the corner a little bit more and just went real hard?
It's definitely like an opportunity for bad injury. There's no way, you can't, you know, say that Conor wussed out by tapping.
Not at all.
No. I mean...
Anytime you're immobile with a super strong high-level grappling hanging off your neck.
Yeah, as soon as he got to his back, like, I know nothing about this stuff, but I said to the missus, I went, he's done now. And yeah. 3 seconds later, it was all over.
Arguably the best grappler in MMA. MMA grappler, specialised for MMA. Once Conor gave his back up,
A little while to... Like, Conor defended pretty well the first round. Not a whole lot happened. The punch stats were like... half and 0.1. it was terrible.
He definitely negated him. Yeah.
He definitely wore him out. And you could see Conor just fading. Khabib just coming on strong.
Well, what about was it the second or the third where Khabib dropped it?
That was the third. And then he stayed, went with him toe to toe all round.
He fainted and caught him with a massive overhand right on the chin.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Like, I find the more you learn about striking, the harder it is to fight guys that aren't as skilled, because you get so locked into a rhythm of like, this is the highest percentage thing to do in this position, and so that's what all the high level guys do.
Yeah.
But if you get a guy that's Khabib, that was a very explosive shot.
Yeah.
And he fainted and caused Conor to react and left a gap upstairs. Mm. But yeah,
so
man,
basically, I find that the theme of the entire fight was once Khabib had Conor respecting his hand, he was able to get his hands up high enough to get the takedown. And that was the theme for the second.
He stood
second,
with him quite a bit.
So, you know, for the second, third and fourth round, basically once Conor was worried enough about Khabib's hands, he'd get the takedown at will.
Yeah.
Because the idea of a takedown is if you keep them busy upstairs, they're not able to defend downstairs. Yeah. And that's basically what happened.
And Duke started, like, he's had a lot more success with taking me down lately. He'd get me worried about upstairs because his hands are coming along.
Yeah.
I've got my hands up, and next thing I know, I'm
on
getting my
back.
Freaking flying mile.
Instead of being a strength thing, it's a timing thing.
Yeah.
And that's the idea. And Khabib was timing them perfectly, pulling him up against the cage, getting that takedown, and then on the ground, he was just ferocious.
Yeah. And he was hitting a lot harder than normal.
Yes.
He wasn't just tapping away to keep position and not get stood up. He was trying to finish the fight.
It was vicious, wasn't it?
There was a lot of anger and resentment between those two men.
I think it was the second round, we just went to town on him.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. You could say Conor, not much happened in the third. You could even possibly give it to Conor, but
I thought
despite the points, like, it was one-sided.
Yeah, I almost gave that third round to Conor, actually.
I thought
a lot of people did.
Yeah, that third round, he showed signs, but it was like the... the snap on his punches wasn't there. I don't know if his timing was off or what, but it just
I think he was just super tired from defensive wrestling knocks.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, and remember, he hadn't had an MMA fight in 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you got to put hats off to the guy for getting in there after
straight into
the deepest of ends.
Yeah.
But look, I honestly, I just think he was a step behind the whole fight.
Yeah, and you could see Khabib, as soon as the fight was over, was trying to scream in Conor's face. The ref was holding him back. And when that happened, Dylan Danis, who actually, in jiu-jitsu circles, he's pretty well known as a bit of a bad boy.
Yeah.
Marcelo Garcia, he's like a jiu-jitsu legend. He kicked him out of the gym. And Marcelo's the
just
nicest
for being
dude
too outlandish
ever.
Too.
He's like, you're making us look bad.
Well, when you wear that hair, you know you've you're just going, yep, no, I got things to say.
He's like, you're making us look bad. You're making the sport look bad. We don't want you in the gym. And everyone that knows Marcelo, he's just he's a sweetheart of a man, but a murderer in grappling circles. So that tells you a lot. And Dylan was obviously chirping up to Khabib, and Khabib's just, that's the one he threw his mouth guard out, jumped the fence, and went for like a flying stomp.
How do you have perfect technique of jumping off a cage onto human beings? Like, well, his legs, like he was like an eagle.
Yes. Did you see the meme? It looked exactly like an eagle with his claws hanging out.
Terrifying. Terrifying scenes.
He scaled the fence like a parkour guy. Now, but because of that, like, obviously, the shit hit the fan big time. And Dylan, that got stuff pretty quick. Like, there was more security and police than there's ever been for a UFC fight ever. Dana White said, like, half the Las Vegas cops were there, and luckily. And the darkest part of it was, or one of the darkest parts, was when the two guys jumped in the cage.
Well, did you know one of them was a contracted UFC fighter?
Yes,
so he's lost
name
his job.
Is,
we are going to name you.
Yeah, Zabira Tukagov, who just come off a 2-year ban from ASADA for Osterine. He was supposed to fight on the next show. And Dana said in the post-fight press conference that anyone, if any of those guys are UFC fighters, they're gone.
They'll never fight.
Let's have a listen to what Dana said post.
And can I just say, one thing has changed since this video was posted.
Yeah.
Khabib's purse is still being held, his $2 million purse. But after Nevada State Athletic Commission's, watch the basic footage, Conor got his check on the night.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see what Dana said after the fight.
Backstage at UFC 229, Dana, obviously everything went crazy after the end of the main event. In terms of the safety and the health of the two fighters in the main event, Khabib and Conor, you've spoken to both of them and they're both okay?
I've been speaking to Khabib. I spoke to Conor. He's okay. Three of Khabib's guys were arrested and taken to jail. And God knows what the Nevada State Athletic Commission is going to do. And, there's going to be, I heard both of their purses are being held now. This is a big deal. So we'll see how this thing plays out.
There's a quote floating around right now from some pretty reliable news sources that Khabib told you in the octagon that he was ready and okay if he was going to get arrested and go to jail. Is that true?
He said, listen, if this is what's going to happen, if I'm going to be arrested, then I'll be arrested, but put my belt on me.
The reaction from security here and Metro as well was obviously quick, but there were a lot of people involved in this. Can you just kind of talk about how they were able to kind of contain this situation?
Yeah, the problem is when things like this break out is they spread like a wildfire, and they did a really good job of containing it and keeping it, because when it first started, when he jumped over, I thought that was the end of it. Then guys started jumping into the octagon after Conor, and then then other guys were trying to get in on the other side, and everybody did a really good job of containing that thing and not letting it turn into a huge, bigger show.
Now that they are both in their locker rooms, they're both trying to calm down or cool down in this situation. Will you go speak to them?
Conor was cool. He's just sitting there. Conor's not upset about any of that. He's like, I don't even give a about any of this. He says, I'm upset about losing the fight, and I don't care about all this other.
What about Khabib? Will you try and talk to him, talk to his teammates, or what's going to happen with the situation? Do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still talking to the Nevada State Athletic Commission on. And obviously internally about what's going to happen here. This is, this doesn't happen here. This doesn't happen in our organization. We take all the proper, measures to control this stuff. And, it happened.
Yeah, it certainly did. Boss, I know that you've got a lot of media ahead of you, a lot of meetings with other people in front of you tonight. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, so who knows what's going to happen.
Like, there's some footage going around of Conor McGregor hitting one of Khabib's teammates, but I'm going
to that guy put squared up to him.
I'm going
to
say that the fight had already broken out, so you're already in a fight mentality. Don't they're trying to say, "Oh, Conor started it."
No,
oh,
he didn't.
Well, I think the bloke that scaled the fence and leapt onto his teammate started it, and then you're in a brawl situation.
To me, it looked like that guy was trying to scale the fence to get involved in the fight outside with Conor and his.
I believe once in a brawl situation, there's no one who started it. I mean, Khabib started it, and then it was an all-in.
That's the guy that was dressed in black, and you see Conor does throw a right, doesn't hit him, and then Conor gets belted from behind by the bloke that was wearing the red shirt.
So that guy, the UFC fighter that was in it, was actually bragging about it on social media, saying, "I told you I was going to slap him." So I don't know how well that's going to go down with everything. Now, three of those guys were arrested directly after the fight. The cops asked Conor if he wanted to press any charges. He said absolutely not. So they all got released after about an hour.
So why is it that it's up to Conor McGregor to press the charges, though? When you're talking about...
Because otherwise the city's got to press the charges.
And they didn't want to...
Well, if Conor says, "Oh, I don't care, I'm not worried about it."
Because similar things have happened...
It's a waste of time.
That's what I thought.
Similar things have happened in some people's personal lives where... The police will press charges, and not even if the
Department of Prosecutions.
And I mean, I don't see how that's any different. If there's witness of an assault,
that's my point about this. Why is it up to Conor McGregor to make the decision on that, whether or not they can come in and go, "This has caused massive disrepute and all sorts of problems"?
Inciting a riot.
Yeah,
like, that's a huge charge.
Well, that was a huge thing about it too, is Dana didn't put the belt on Khabib after. He says, "If I put the belt on, missiles are going to start flying in the cage."
Well, when they got Khabib out, they were throwing drinks on him the way out.
Only right at the tunnel entrance. It was only right at the end. Now, when Conor was walking out of the cage first, I said that was Dana's call when we were watching it.
Yeah, you did.
I watched it with Pay. I said, "I bet you that was Dana's call."
Yeah.
And then they zoomed in on Dana talking to Khabib, saying, "We're not putting the belt on you. It's going to start a riot."
I feel like that's a small punishment as well. I feel like you deserve
that. He lost that right when he started that.
You know, okay, you're still a champion. You probably just get fined. That's all that's going to happen. Well, you've because of the scene and the disgrace you've caused. You don't deserve to have the belt wrapped around you in glory. Yeah.
Especially on the UFC, like
you didn't act like a champion.
Not condoning the bust attack, but mate, you just won the fight.
Yeah, that's the war.
You just dominated.
That's the war.
And Dylan Danis is chirping off to you. You got the biggest thing to go to. I just won the fight. I beat your boy up on the ground. Did you teach him anything?
Why does he react like that, though? Tell me why. Why does he lose?
Daniel Cormier said it's a cultural thing. Like, this isn't.
I saw Daniel Cormier's quotes, but this isn't a loser like that. That's silliness.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, he said this isn't a shit talking thing for them. This isn't promoting a fight. This is personal.
Yeah, and it's easy for us to say. I mean, the Dagestani culture doesn't really have any kind of situations for.
There's no WWE.
There's no real gray areas for promoting fight cards. Yeah. If you've offended me, then you're an enemy for life.
Yeah, Conor got stuck in your mind. Good.
Yeah. It's just weird that it happened after the fight. Usually after the fight, it's like, yes,
I've won the war.
F you guys. Yeah. All that meant nothing. But fair enough. Religion, country, family. Conor went after it all.
So to summarise, I think that Khabib's made a massive error in the way he held himself. And
the governor for Nevada was in the building and ran out of the building during the bloody...
So I should have. Well, there was people getting knocked out in the street.
He ran
out of the building. The governor of Nevada, Dana White, said they are going to come down. He looks after the athletic commission.
Yes.
He said they are going to come down on Khabib. How's he going to get a green card? How's he going to get a visa? They might say to the UFC, "If you don't take this guy out of your company, you're never fighting here again."
Yeah.
So he has brought the whole sport and the UFC into disrepute.
And then when he went to apologise for his actions, he apologised and then justified what he did. He basically said, "I'm sorry, but I don't know why you're all angry at me."
Why weren't you angry?
We're talking about... You know, Barca nearly killed people, but he did, and he went to jail, and he went to court for it.
Yeah, that's right.
And it cost him millions of dollars.
So
overall, boys, do you think that Khabib effect here? He had a game plan. He implemented it to a T. Let's say between 90% and 100%, exactly how he wanted to, and won the fight how he was going to do it.
Yep. Absolutely.
He succeeded. What's the word?
Succeeded.
He exceeded expectations.
Yep.
My expectations, anyway. The fact that he was so dangerous on his feet was something that I didn't see coming. I thought he was going to be a little sloppy.
No, everyone thought he was going
to
be dead.
He had one stage in the whole fight in the third when Conor actually looked like he was outclassing him.
But was because Khabib almost didn't want to take him down, though. Almost looked like Khabib was like, "I'm going to go toe-to-toe
here and
show you
how to
beat you up here as well."
That's what I was like trying to explain. I was saying before, if your takedown comes easier if you've got them worried about your hands.
Yeah.
So he was just trying to put as much fear into Conor of his hands, which worked, the takedown comes.
And he was quoted before it chasing saying, legs. I'm going to make it a long night. Yeah. He didn't want it over early. He probably
he always tends to drag it on a bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's just bizarre. Anyway, we've got a great listener question, which is about possible fines and stripping of titles and stuff. So we will discuss that at length again a little bit later on in the podcast.
Going to go off the undercard or?
Well, I wanted to talk about Derek Lewis and Volkov. Now, what I had mixed emotions.
Punch.
Yeah, but I had mixed emotions. That first two, he was gassing after 1 minute.
He was buggered.
And he looked absolutely terrible. Volkov has,
again.
I like Volkov. I picked him in last week. I like him.
Fight IQ of a something. He's that's a really
scientist,
dumb.
A mad scientist.
His fight IQ is zero.
Like the start, it was awesome.
Yeah, but it, even still being a tall, he did well. Like he was winning
with a minute to go.
But he was winning against a punching bag.
Why are you going forward against a punching bag? And why are you throwing
a high with that kind high of risk maneuver with the knee? Exactly, just jab and run. He's an idiot. He's an absolute idiot. If you want to fight UFC, sign me up. I've got a plan. I'm ready to go. But even Derek Lewis, that sort of bummed me out. Like, he won the fight with a wild haymaker.
He doesn't deserve the title.
He's a big, strong, crazy dude. He got a fight bonus. And now he's on a 3-fight win streak. And he shows up like that, full of fried chicken.
Yeah.
I show up fat. When was the last time you saw me gas in a fight? Yeah. 3 years, you know what I mean? Like,
that's right.
My
that's
boy
right.
doesn't gas.
It was a bit disappointing to see, but he is a very funny dude and his Instagram is pretty awesome.
He doesn't try to be funny, he's just funny.
Yeah, he's dry as a bone, and have a listen to his post-fight interview.
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
I understand. Listen, man, what you just did was absolutely phenomenal. That was an incredible comeback victory. And it shows one of the reasons why people love to watch you fight, that you can put it all to bed with one shot.
I told them boys, I got number one heart. You know, they keep underestimating me. Shit, I ain't all that technical and all that, but shit, I'm getting there. Fuck it.
No one will question your heart, sir, after this. Let's take a look at the knockout. This is a come-from-behind knockout, the likes that we haven't seen in a long time. And you were looking for that big haymaker all night. You found it in the last minute of the fight. Talk us through this, Derek.
I forgot. A few hours before the fight, Donald Trump called me and told me I got knocked this Russian motherfucker out because they're making him look bad on the news. You know, him and Putin and shit. Fuck what they're talking about. USA and his hoe. Fuck.
Listen, Derek, you came into this fight the number two contender with that knockout. You're absolutely one of the top guys in line for a shot at the title next. So tell us what you think about that.
I need to sit my black ass down and do some more cardio. Fuck what you talking about right now. I ain't trying to fight for no title right now. Not with no gas tank like that. Shit.
Listen, Derek, you're one of the most entertaining guys in the sport. Congratulations on an amazing victory. And thank you very much for a really, really entertaining fight.
Thanks for having me. Hey, maybe next week or sometime, or 2 weeks from now, I'm going to come on your show and smoke some weed with you.
Anytime, sir. Anytime. And you got the best Instagram in the game, I'll tell you right now. Derek Lewis, ladies and gentlemen.
How good was that? That is gold.
Yeah.
When it happened at the time too, it was like, oh.
Yeah. You could just see Rogan going, bizarre. Oh crap, how do I handle this?
He's taking his undies off.
Yeah.
Taking his shorts off.
Yeah. So, yeah. But it's also just another sign of the heavyweight division.
Mm.
That guy's number two.
It's light on.
He shows up horrifically unfit. And wins the fight with a haymaker. That's number two. I think Volkov was number four.
Yeah.
And on a six or seven
Volkov
fight.
Too, and fought like crap.
Mate, he's, yeah. I've said my piece.
All right.
I'm calling you out, Volkov.
What about, you heard it here
and
first.
And Lewis.
What about Ferguson and Pettis? What a fight.
Yeah, awesome. But, mate, if you break your hand, you keep going. It's a broken hand.
Oh, he did keep going.
He quit.
You reckon?
He quit on the stool.
He goes, yeah, I broke my hand.
I thought his coach pulled him out.
Nah, man.
I thought his coach.
There's a guy on the undercards who broke both his hands and still went on and
mate,
won the fight. What's his excuse?
Did you see Nick Newell comment it? He goes, oh, I've been fighting for one.
Yeah,
with one.
Exactly.
This is the guy with one arm. I've been fighting with one arm my whole life.
Mate, that first two rounds was awesome. I think Pettis just thought, I'm not going to win. I'm going to bail out. And everyone's clapping. Like, awesome two rounds, 100%.
Mate. Best two rounds.
But you don't quit on a broken hand. Mm. Jesus, I've broken seven bones in my hand. I know.
Khabib's put Ben in a pretty bad mood.
Yeah.
This is number one. This is big disrespect.
Send me location.
I'm leaving.
Send me location.
It was a good fight, though. Those two went on and had a nice bang against each other.
Tony Ferguson, he's had so weird. Full ACL. Oh, dude, he's the weirdest guy ever. I watched all his interviews.
He's like,
there's like Tito, and then there's Ferguson in terms of. Tito is just dyslexic, but he tries to promote.
I think he's on the spectrum.
100%.
Yeah, I think
he's up one end of it.
Yeah.
Massively. But, mate, he's a really weird dude. But to come back from full ACL.
In six months, knee reconstruction, in the cage,
less than 6 months after surgery.
Crazy, hey,
that is insane.
And he did no rehab. Yeah, he did no rehab. He just did his own rehab.
Yeah, he just got off the grog and started doing like crazy bloody breakdancing.
Off the
shit.
Grog.
Well, did you see him in the warm up at the start of the UFC? They went into his room and he was there in the suit with the brown leather shoes, and he looked like a total nut. He looked like Salt Bae.
He's crazy.
Funny, another thing about him, he doesn't spar.
Salt Bae.
He never ever spars.
He doesn't spars. He just rolls.
He never ever spars. He just drills and rolls. Yeah,
so that's for some.
He said that too. Remember, in his post fight interview afterwards with Tyron and with Michael Bisping, he basically said, "Yeah, I haven't sparred for years and years and years.
Five years, he said.
But that's what I mean, Ben. There's two types of. I think there's two the way people's brain works. There's two types of people, and then there's the people that can drill,
and not kill each other.
But then there's other people that I need time sparring over and over. And the same as, you know, a lot of people I train with just need the time in the ring and time, and you develop muscle instincts as opposed to pad, you know, or just drilling jiu-jitsu moves. I mean, I've never learned that way. So it's just...
Everything works for different people. Yeah. There are people that don't spar hard and come in and they don't look as sharp as they used to. But I tend to find the more experience you have in fighting, you know the basics. You just need to get your timing in.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Bellator is coming up.
Yeah.
So Bellator, is it? It's 107, 207, 107.
I believe so.
But it's this weekend.
Yeah.
Headlined by Chael Sonnen versus Fedor Emelianenko.
Mate, I listened to Chael's breakdown of Khabib and Conor before the fight. He was bang on, man.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. He even said about Khabib striking, like, you don't have to be a good striker to land good shots.
Yeah.
And he was spot on.
The only thing I'll say with Charles is he says so much that he's going to be...
He covers all bases.
He covers it all.
He says so
much. Yeah, he waters the whole lawn and then goes, got that part.
Yeah.
He gave about six different analyses of that fight before. Yeah. And I go, you got to be right somewhere. I told you so.
The 27 I listened to, he covered it. He got most of them right.
And so that'll be... Look, honestly, I just don't know how Charles is going to beat Fedor, but he does find a way to win.
Yeah. Who do you reckon is going to win the wrestle?
Fedor.
Yeah.
Fedor will win
the wrestle, win the striking too.
He'll definitely win the striking.
You think it's going to be in the clinch most of the fight?
I think Chael will want it in the clinch. I think he'll be all the way out or all the way in.
Yeah.
He's got that low American wrestler's double leg.
Yeah.
Whereas Fedor's got that Sambo judo style.
Yeah, throws from the clinch.
When he threw Frank Mir has been, like, this isn't in the fight previous. Frank Mir was so embarrassed that he got taken down so easily. That's he got he, straight up.
And he started swinging. He started wildly.
Swinging and Fedor just picked him apart.
Yeah, he said that. He goes, I was so mad. I just saw red and just started throwing bombs. Yeah. It was silly.
And that's the thing. Fedor's grappling is so technical and so far advanced, and he's so old now that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I think that if Chael tries that, look, honestly, I think I can see him getting put on his back, but Fedor's not bad on his back.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, man.
And Chael's jiu-jitsu is good in some aspects, but he's got holes. So
yeah.
I'll be interested with that one. Who are you picking? I'm picking Fedor.
I got to go Fedor.
I'm picking Fedor.
Always, mate.
Well, you love Fedor, don't you?
Oh, he's the OG.
Fedor's your hero.
Dad bod, kills people. What do you want?
And then in the... These are both in the heavyweight Grand Prix, and in the same round of the semi-final on the other end, it's Matt Mitrione versus Ryan Bader. Now, I picked Bader from the start of this tournament, so I'll be sticking
a while back too.
Yeah, I picked Bader from the start. I believe he's the sure thing.
He's probably, he's bigger than Charles, so he's not the smallest.
He's not bigger than Mitrione, though.
But Bader's coming in full belly. He's not cutting weight anymore.
Look, he's a heavyweight. Like, he'll come in
105.
Yeah, 105. He'll come in 108.
Yeah.
Mitrione drops, you know, he'll be 120 kilos.
Yeah. I think his last one's about 115, 120,
115. Mitrione is a very powerful man.
He's just a big, super athlete.
He's a very powerful former football player designed just to go all day. He can go. He's fit. He's strong. He's powerful. He's got knockout power.
I don't know if he's going to be able to stop Bader's wrestling, though.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think so. I'm picking Bader by decision.
Yeah. Yeah. You reckon?
Yeah, that's what I
reckon. He's going to gas and Bader's going to finish him in the third.
Just pound him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see that.
How do you watch it?
The way I've watched it, I found a legal stream, but...
How was that, mate?
We're in Australia. We can't buy.
There's no other way in Australia to watch it. So, look, honestly, if there was any way I could set up this, because of the DAZN, That's the streaming service that is in
the Zone.
The Zone.
The Zone.
If I could get onto that, I would do it, but they're not letting me. So yeah. Because they're not letting me, I've got to use other means to stream the fight.
How come they're not doing that? So they're not allowing you the capability to get on that one, are they?
Well, Bellator just haven't. They've got no TV deal in Australia.
They only had that one on main event.
They've only had one pay-per-view.
Vandalay and Chael.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that was on until like it was on. And I'm like, well, yeah. Shit. Take my money.
Yeah.
So I wish I could just get it on a TV deal.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it's great TV. Surely. They're great fights.
Yeah. Bellator's on Optus, I think, boys. On my Fetch box, I'm pretty sure you can get the Bellator pay-per-views, but then again, how many people have the Optus boxes? That's the thing. So.
I think you and the guy from Optus.
Yeah. Yeah, happy bedfellows. Go around to Steve's house and watch.
You and the guy from Optus have it, eh? No, really. But yeah, I'm looking forward. I love Bellator. They put good shows on. I haven't even looked at the other guys' fights under that, but we'll review them afterwards.
We shall.
And that's that.
Queen Vienna is famous for the Campeses, George Lazenby, Mark Webber, and it's where this podcast is recorded. Well, 3 out of 4 ain't bad, I guess. It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, Stephen, Duke.
Without the Butcher Shop boys, we wouldn't be here every week.
I'm feeling ill, man.
Why? Because you haven't been there for a while?
Because I haven't been for 2 weeks, man.
Mate, I was telling the boys on last week's episode that you missed out. They've got about 6 brand new gourmet sausages there. I grabbed some the other day. The bacon and leek. Absolutely
bacon and leek, yum.
Yeah, and there's one, the New Yorker. It's beef, garlic, pepper, Dijon mustard, horseradish, honey, and Worcestershire sauce
What more do you want?
How good is that? Oh,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, so and like these things are just. I thought the butcher shop snags were good before. These things are just mind blowing.
I haven't had a snag from there yet.
Haven't you?
No,
you haven't lived, mate.
Mate, I haven't lived.
The Vegemite and cheese chipolatas. They're the best time. Those ones.
Jeez. Vegemite and cheese.
Yeah, they've got Vegemite and cheese in a sausage and on the barbecue.
How many different flavors do they have?
About 14. They've got there.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, so there's a stack of
them. Duke was talking about last week how much he loves his multicolored sausage, didn't he?
Mignon sausage, the New Yorker, the bacon and leek, and yeah, there's a stack of the farmhouse. And like, yeah, they are so good.
Well, it's barbecue season.
That's right.
It's time.
That's what it's all about.
Start sizzling them sausages, boys.
I know. I know across the weekend.
Payos is burning his sausage. It's been burning for a few weeks.
It sizzled.
A lot of people this time of year, an actual message came into the Butcher Shop's Facebook page today from someone after a whole beast. So a whole side of cow and a whole lamb so they could do on the spit. And they'll do that for you too. Get whole pigs for pigs on the spit and all that. So not the kind you're thinking of, Stephen.
Excuse me.
But very, very exciting. If you cows do on the spit. If you want to do the big barbecue over summer, you can get down there and get stuck into it. But yeah, Benny, make sure you... wrap your mouth around one of Ian's sausages
The first time. Well, it will be.
Yes, we haven't. And Payos, your eggs are still in my fridge. I'll come and get them now.
Is this some sexual in
everything going say, on, isn't it?
Boxes, sausages, eggs.
Why have you got Scotty fridging your eggs, mate? Just in case. You're doing enough
just in case he wants to have kids one day.
Just go to Kayleen. Get it down your neck. It's awesome.
And now on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, it's time for The Week in Review.
I love that intro. No expense spared. And first up this week on The Week in Review, Apple is going to introduce 70 new emojis in their iOS 12.2.1 update. This will solve our national emoji shortage next problem. There is going to be a kangaroo in there.
Oh,
which would be kind of good. Yeah, when you hit one, you can send it to your panel beater. Just, you know, crash bang and you're in. Norwegian scientists say they've found a method to restore hearing loss in mice, which is a good thing.
Beautiful.
Because most mice can't afford hearing aids. So excellent stuff. An unidentified London man called the fire department this week for help after getting his penis caught in his toaster.
Happens.
Yeah. That's why British food tastes so strange. I've heard of they do have a dessert called spotted dick. That's an actual thing.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, but I've never heard of toasted dick before. There you go. Imagine being the fiery showing up. What's wrong? How would you explain that? I slipped?
Yeah, wow.
Because I know my sister...
Was the toaster on? As in, did he get the old zzz shock or what?
Was he trying to...
You wouldn't think so. You couldn't be that kinky, could you?
Well, I don't know.
Things were getting hot.
Something was going on, wasn't it? A fitness instructor in Maine has been charged with running a prostitution business out of a Zumba dance studio. Police became suspicious when they heard a bunch of husbands were willing to go to Zumba class. British researchers say it's actually very likely that 19-year-old King Tut died 3,000 years ago in a chariot accident. I always thought it was because he OD'd at a Madonna concert, but there you go. Doctors in Mexico evened out a 45-year-old man's testicles by replacing his tiny...
This is the filthiest week in review in history.
I knew Ben was coming back.
He's got to be laughing, man. Look at him.
They replaced his tiny, misshaped left testicle with an implant. The guy had wanted to get the surgery for his whole life, but until now he didn't have the balls to do it.
What was it? Just missed, like a sultana or something?
Yeah, obviously it was like an M&M compared to a plum or something. I'm not
bloody
sure.
Bloody hell.
But yeah, there you go. And finally this week, a man at an auction has paid $330,000 for a single white glove but worn by Michael Jackson during his Bad tour. The glove has been hermetically sealed since the 80s and still smells like Macaulay Culkin's anus.
I was waiting for that.
Allegedly.
Come on, Petty. Yeah. Someone take a photo of this. Look at him. He's actually pissed himself.
We bleep out the F word, but you'll say that.
Oh, dear.
Allegedly.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Kayleen. And now, with the Macedonian love god, it's time for the vast planet of athletic endeavour.
A new world record for Usain Bolt.
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
Scoring brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one on the PGA Tour.
Take it away, Stevie.
All right, Stevie, all yours, mate.
Thanks very much, Scotty. Where are we going to start with your heaven, I think? We'll start with Bathurst yesterday. We have to, don't we?
It was so good flicking between that and the UFC yesterday.
What a fantastic day of sport, wasn't it? We'll start with your main man, Craig Lowndes, winning his seventh Bathurst. What a fantastic effort this was alongside Mr. Richards. What a fantastic performance. Mm. This was from the man from Triple Eight. One of the biggest things he said years ago, Scotty, you'll know this, is he goes, Peter Brock's record, 9 Bathurst, will never be beaten. It's the type of record which no one will ever get to. But in winning his seventh yesterday, he's even openly admitted himself now that as he progresses into being an enduro only driver from the coming years, and as you mentioned before,
he'll race with Winch Cup or Van Gisbergen. Winch Cup,
Winch's Cup,
yeah. So he'll race with Winch Cup or Van Gisbergen next year, and
that's right.
Triple Eight team like that. If whoever he partners, that's going to be a super team.
That's right,
super team.
And you think about those two together in those, you know, those longer races as you're talking. What was it, sorry, Gold Coast,
Bathurst, and Gold Coast.
That's right.
Did I hear it was going to be his last?
Year as a full-time driver.
Full-time.
Yeah, so he will just
doing the enduros.
The three enduros next year, the Pertec Cup. Yep.
What are the other two?
Sandown, and didn't you just listen to what we just said, Benny?
No, we don't get it.
Sandown.
This is why I don't involve myself in these segments. I try and involve myself and I get shot down.
This is why I hate sport and interest. I only like fights.
So there you go. Put your headphones on. Now you'll hear. No, Sandown and the Gold Coast are the other two rounds.
He's listening again.
Thanks,
he's back.
Oh,
yeah, that's all right,
okay.
Bro.
Yeah, so it was a great performance on the mountain yesterday, wasn't it, Scotty? There was there was applause and there was people who were supporting this everywhere. It was just one of those
heartfelt performances. Because he went to Ford for a while. So if you're a Ford guy, you still love him. Yeah. It was the only guy at Ford I would barrack for when he was driving for Ford. So, everyone loves him. And he's just such a nice dude.
And he's actually got himself back in championship contention as well for this season, which is good. So for something that was a long shot a little while back, he's back in it. And it really was a feel-good story from the King of the Mountain there, Craig Lowndes. So let's hope, see what happens in the next few years there, how it rolls out with Shane Van Gisbergen and your mate Winch Cup, Scotty. But if he can, you know, partner one of them to a couple of more Bathurst.
Well, it'll be either or.
That's right. Yeah. So if he partners one of them to a few more Bathurst, it'll be a fantastic performance for him. So all the very best. Boys, want to move on and talk about the Wallabies. It was one of the most bizarre weekends of rugby.
Are you happy, Duke?
Yeah, make it hard for us.
I would never call it that though, Duke. This was almost beyond farcical in the first half to beyond believable in the second half when they came back to win this game.
Or they just went, well, we can't lose. It doesn't matter now.
They were so confident that they were going to win this game and they nearly lost it.
It's hard to explain. So before the
why don't they play like the second half of all the games?
So Cech has been under pressure. Michael Cech has been under pressure of late. This is the Wallabies coach, Benny, about their performances, which have been pretty abject. You know, recently they've been losing in the Rugby Championship. They've been losing before that when Ireland came around and touched us up. So we've had some real problems in terms of our performances. Cech has gone out before this game and guaranteed a win. He says, there's no doubt we're going to win this game. We're going to come out. We're going to win this game. It's not even a question. We've come out in the first half and we're down 31 points to 7 at halftime, copping an absolute flogging from Argentina, who in Argentina now are definitely a much harder prospect than they were years ago. And they've proved that this year. They beat Australia in Australia. They beat South Africa in Argentina. They're a team that can actually turn up now. And this rugby championship is helping them out. So he's gone out and guaranteed a victory. And then we've turned up in the first half and performed like that. So everyone watching, I was watching this game going, how are we going to come back from this? I mean, it's the biggest comeback in the history of the Rugby Championship / the Tri Nations. And one of the biggest comebacks in terms of rugby history at international level, full stop. From there, fast forward into the second half, we've ended up scoring 5 converted tries, a couple of penalty goals, and ended up winning 45 points to 38 or something. I think it was Duke. I think Argentina scored a try in the second half, but it was, we ended up with 45 points total and won the game. But you know, the fact that it almost did more damage by winning that way, just to show that we're
what they can do, though.
Shows what we're capable of.
But it shows what we can't do either, though, Scotty. You're going to come out and perform like that in the first half.
So what was the score in the second half? 35-7
Nah, 30, I think we 38 points to...
That's nice.
Yeah, we flogged
but there is a few mental
38 to 38 to 3 or 38
when you're that
to
far ahead, you do tend to switch off.
You take the gear off a little bit, which you shouldn't, but you sometimes...
It's human nature, man.
Yeah, so it was a strange performance from the Wallabies. Where Checker goes from this, I don't know, Duke. I mean, we've got a spring tour coming up in November where we'll take on the old enemy, we'll take on Scotland, Ireland, you know, probably France. I don't know the exact schedule, but
we've one bad tour.
He's in trouble going into a World Cup year next year, which we play in September.
But I think
in Japan.
Stick, even if he has a bad year, they'll stick with him to the World Cup.
Well, it's almost getting to that point. We've got to make the call and give a new guy some time, or get rid of him now, because next year we'll go into a European team will tour us. Then we'll have the Tri Nations, all the rugby championships, and the Bledisloe, and probably get pumped again, and then heading to a World Cup into Japan, which will be
pumped
very
and
interesting.
To the World Cup. Yeah, great.
which will be great for us. The game in South Africa and New Zealand. This was to decide the winner of the rugby championship. Championships, and New Zealand just pulled off one of their typically unbelievable performances. South Africa were up by 12 points with 4 minutes to go, and New Zealand ran over with 2 converted tries in the last 4 minutes to win this game. They hadn't lost 2 tests in a calendar year for about 15 years, I believe was the statistic or something along those lines. And they're on track with 4 minutes to go to actually get done twice and really set the cat amongst the pigeons in terms of New Zealand rugby, because they never lose. And in the end, they've gone over twice in the last...
Are they the most dominant team?
Yeah, in
team sports.
I think they are in world sport. I think it's Scotty. It's an 86% win rate, Benny. They've got in terms of just total in history. They've just beaten 86%.
That's not even recently. It's
that's
all time.
Ever. Yeah. That's ever since they've been playing. The New Zealand All Blacks are that good of a side. So just unbelievable scenes there. To be completely honest, it's crazy. In Dubai at the moment, we've got the Australian Test team playing Pakistan, the first test of two. A really, really slow start from Australia. Yesterday, the Pakistanis put on 200 runs for the first wicket, but we managed to put the brakes on, grab a couple of late wickets and have them at 255 for 3 at stumps. This morning session, Scotty, Pakistan scored 6 runs in an hour and we picked up a wicket. So it was
slow going.
I tell you what, that is some bad cricket to watch, though. As a fan watching that is... Anyone who's critical of cricket or hypercritical of test cricket, especially watching that, is a real punish. Yeah. So 6 runs in an hour. They hadn't taken the new ball either. So maybe that was just because it was that much of a road. You're better off with the old ball trying to turn them out and that sort of thing. So by the time the podcast comes out, that test will be sort of well into its fourth or fifth day. But the biggest talking point as well is to see how the team performs without Steve Smith, without David Warner. You've got Hazelwood, Cummings out as well. Mitchell Stark leading the attack for us over there. And Banana Man, Peter Siddle, he's back.
He's doing well.
He's back and doing well. He's had a great county season. He played 7 games in county cricket for 37 wickets at an average of 16. So
that's pretty good.
Did really well over there in the English season. They'll have a joke that 6 weeks ago he was bowling in a beanie for his county Essex. That's how cold it was in England. You imagine a bloke running and bowling in a beanie. I mean, that's just superb, really, to watch that go around. So interesting times. In the NBA, boys, that starts in about a week and a half time. All the attention is going to be on LeBron to start with. His new...
He's had a couple of trial games already in the kit. He looks good in the yellow.
A few losses for the Lakers, but overall they're saying that LeBron has been performing really, really well. He's in a fantastic place at the moment.
I've already got my LeBron James Lakers basketball top.
Did you get it? Yeah, I got mine too. I got the black one earlier.
I got one in Bali, yeah. So it didn't cost very much.
I saw you wearing that one.
I don't think...
Is that what you're wearing now?
This is GSP.
Yeah.
My two favourites.
It's worn out.
Two kings.
I'm very curious to see how LeBron goes this year. Apparently he's in a real happy place in terms of being settled in Los Angeles now.
Did you see what he's getting paid again?
Don't need to.
You've been in a happy place.
It's
a very happy place.
Crazy. It still counts for something, though, when you already got that much money to your name.
Yeah.
Still going at it.
It's still enthusiastic.
Same as McGregor. Still going at it even though you're rich.
Yeah.
All that money, baby. All that money. So that starts October 17th. So it's next week on Wednesday, I believe, boys. The NBA will be Thursday morning for us. The first game of the 2018-19 NBA season. And over in the Major League Baseball, we've just hit it to the postseason now. So the playoffs have just started. The Yankees and the Red Sox, a bit of a high-profile match in the American League Divisional Series taking place at the moment.
Gets violent at those games too, doesn't it?
Well, can do.
Yeah, 9 innings, lots of beers and hot dogs. dogs. People yeah. punch on.
Crowd goes crazy after yeah. all that. Dogs. So I'll keep you up to date with that one. We should be close to a World Series, you know, with the best teams in the world, obviously.
Yeah.
Coming up.
The world being North America.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Coming up against each other. But the baseball season coming to an end over there in America.
Need advice? You've come to the wrong place. It's listener question time.
All right, lads, this question came into our Facebook page about 5 minutes after UFC 229 yesterday from Pat Malloy. So thanks for sending this one through. Pat says, I've got a question for Ben and Duke just to get their opinion. After what happened in the main event of 229, should Khabib be stripped of the lightweight title and should he be suspended from the UFC? Now, we kind of touched on this before, but we left this discussion for this question. What do you reckon, boys?
Well, Dana was non-committal when asked the same question. Well, the facts are he did, like, he brought the sport into disrepute when there'd never been more eyes
on the sport.
On it. Like, yeah. at the exact moment, there was more eyes on it than ever.
Did we get the figures?
No, Dana didn't. At the post-fight press conference, he goes, I should be here gloating about the pay-per-views. I haven't even looked
because
of the craziness that just happened.
Yeah.
Arik, if it was anyone else that did that in the UFC, they're out of the UFC.
Then I went stripping.
Yeah,
don't want to strip him. There's too much money in him not to strip him.
But what if, Nevada, as Ben was saying before, come down on him hard and he doesn't get a visa?
I reckon they'll suspend him. He won't be able to fight for a year or something. He might get stripped in the meanwhile, but then come straight back for a title fight.
I think, definitely fined. He'll definitely be 100%. Fined. Possibly legal ramifications.
May not be able to fight in Nevada.
Possibly sued. Might not be able to fight in Vegas. But even Vegas know it's in their best interest to have Khabib back.
Same with Conor. When they were trying to sue Conor for throwing the Monster Energy can, he's like, oh, okay, I just want to fight here again.
I refuse to fight in Vegas now.
And then they're like, oh, did we say $1 million fine? We meant 50 grand.
Suspended. Did we say a 12-month ban? We meant suspended.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what's going to happen here is that I always say that teams always come out in the wash with these fighting. Like, when something happens in Vegas.
But who knows? There could be so much more than that. Well, you may not even get banned allowed in the country.
Think back to the American-Russian conflict over all these years. There's a lot of hatred between those two countries,
as
and then the whole Russian meddling that they're talking about.
Correct.
In the elections.
Anything to create more of a diplomatic
Putin and everything like that. And Trump is bloody good friends with Dana as well. So I mean, you don't know.
You just don't know. And
there's so many things that are going to come to fruition.
But I don't think they'll strip him.
You don't. Really?
Why not?
Because there's just too much money and there's too much precedent.
I don't think he's as much of a draw though, Khabib. He's not a great fighter, he's not a massive draw though.
I think that was his breakout.
He's the ultimate bad guy in the history of fighting.
And undefeated. In a lighter weight division, like that's extremely hard to do. But I understand the things he's got against him.
He has done a lot of wrong things.
He's not a super exciting fighter. He doesn't talk a lot of shit. But he's a winner. He's like GSP.
But he does talk shit now.
But only against a guy who was trashing his religion, family, and
I think Ferguson will bring out the weird in him, but
Ferguson brings out the weird.
If he stays in, if he doesn't get stripped and everything, and Khabib stays in and gets to keep fighting, Ferguson's the next fight.
Well, it depends. He may not be able to fight in Nevada for a year, maybe 2 years.
But that's what I'm saying.
Khabib's dream is to fight in Russia. So his dream is to fight in Russia, so it may not matter anyway.
I think if he does stay, Ferguson's the fight.
Ferguson's the fight.
In Russia, I reckon.
Pat, I'm going to put my two bobs into this, boys, and you can tell me what you think. Okay, there's two big things that really gripe me about this, and this is what I'm going to say about this issue.
Number one, Costa said.
No, I won't. That will not be right.
Can I just say real quick?
That'll be
get Herb Alpert ready. I'm just telling you guys.
Okay.
You should get your throat...
Thank you, Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. And Costa.
Thank you, Costa.
Thank you.
I've never met you, but I feel like I know you.
Thank you, Costa, for your, once again, controversial views.
That's it. All right, boys, these are my two points I'm going to make about this, which I've had a good think about, and this is how I see this. Number one, everyone keeps referring to the whole Dolly incident with Conor McGregor and everything that happened there. Most pertinently, Benny, you touched on it, and boys, we talked about it. He was dealt with. He went to court, did his jail time, paid his fine, all that sort of stuff. That was dealt with that way. And the most important thing about that was it was closed off to the general public. So as much of an incident that it was happening at an area where it was closed off backstage. It did have a bit of a feel of the WWE to me, as I mentioned to you boys at the time. Whether it was or not, I don't know. The second biggest point about this is that the issue with it being broadcast live to everybody around the world at their major and one of their biggest events in the history. Not to mention you're putting the public's safety at concern, yeah. Which is where your guys like the governor of Nevada, the athletics commissioner, are going to come in down on you hard, because they're going to go, you can't do that. You can't almost incite a riot.
You can't act like that in this country.
And you can't put people's safety at risk like that. Not to mention that it was a position where he's put Dana White in, which he wouldn't have been expecting either. Yeah. So they're my two biggest gripes with it.
He was in the middle of it trying to defuse a duke. Yeah.
So Pat, I know you didn't ask for my opinion, but I'm giving you one.
Good on you.
So that's exactly how I feel about this. They're the two biggest issues behind this, okay? Duke, I see where you're coming from.
I definitely respect your MMA opinions on this,
but I personally think he should be stripped. It'll make more of a story when he comes back to actually win it back. And number two, they should find the absolute shit out of him, okay? Because you can't behave like that. Conor McGregor doing what he did was absolutely stupid too, but in my opinion, it felt a little bit put on, and not to mention there was no danger to the general public. Yes, there was a danger to fighters and the other people, but he got arrested and dealt with and all that sort of stuff, settled out of court with the fighters as well. Exactly, they still ruled him winner of the fight too.
That's interesting because that could be overturned as well.
That could have been a no contest.
It still could be a no contest.
Yeah. You reckon it will be? Will they do something like that?
Absolutely. There's a very good chance.
Okay, can you imagine what they would do to Khabib then?
Imagine fight two. Imagine a rematch if.
But I don't think a rematch is warranted in any other. Because it was so one-sided.
That's correct. Do they go again though? Conor McGregor tweeted and said, "Let's go again," or he's something on the line. I'll be back and I'm going to go again. So will they go again?
I think he should fight Nate Diaz and then fight him again.
So my question to you is Tony Ferguson the automatic for Khabib now? Let's say perfect world, nothing happens to Khabib, no sanction, no problem. Is Tony Ferguson the man who gets
there's
the title?
There's one man that could have it, and I'm wearing
George St. Pierre.
George St. Pierre.
Versus Khabib.
Who wins the wrestling? Oh, I don't know. It depends how old GSP is by the time it happens.
Yeah.
Does that happen though, boys? Is that realistic?
Prime versus now.
I'm shutting my eyes and I don't want to see GSP getting mushed like that. Eh? I don't know. That's why it's cool. It does sell. Biggest pay-per-view draw of the first decade versus the biggest one. Is Conor done?
No. It's different to Conor and Khabib too, because it's nice guy versus nice. Well, Khabib was always really respectful, never talk shit. Same as GSP, both awesome wrestlers. That's why it's Conor. Conor and Khabib was good guy, bad guy, striker, grappler. That's a different fight altogether.
East versus West.
Both of them have very good top games. So it wouldn't be about the top game, it'd be about the takedown. That'd be an interesting one. It'd be intriguing for me, but I don't know if Dana White's willing to reward Khabib with a GSP fight.
Yeah, I don't think he wants GSP to come in to take the title.
Will he get paid? Will Khabib get paid, you reckon, boys?
No.
He'll get paid by the... I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
He's in deep trouble.
That's a huge thing. You can't go fly kick someone in the crowd. What if there's so many things, and have your teammates hitting him.
So what does he do if he doesn't get paid though? Does he then put in a complaint or something like that or put in some sort of... that'd be part of the contract. Since when does the Athletic Commission hang on your pay though?
That's always the athletes.
For your purse you mean, because you're not getting employed by them.
For your disguised purse. Well, the UFC pays them and they get paid by the Athletic Commission.
They're regulated.
But they get paid immediately after the show, you get a check. That's the same as all athletic commissions in America. You get a check for your thing. Was that happen when you're in New York?
No, it's different with me. I got paid overseas 3 weeks via internet transfer.
Yeah, but in some of the athletic commissions, you get paid immediately with a check and that's written to you after the fight.
Yeah,
boxes,
right.
Everything. Like Floyd Mayweather used to get checks. You have a look at this. That's why that works like that. And so that they can go, we're not giving you money yet.
Yeah, and the UFC is regulated by the Athletic Commission. The Athletic Commission is regulated by the government. And the governor went running. Khabib did a lot of shit.
I wouldn't
be surprised if they stripped him as well. It depends. If the governor comes down real hard on him, they might say to the UFC,
what did they do to John
this
Jones
guy disgraced the sport.
He did, though. That's the problem. The two things I mentioned is why he's disgraced the sport when they have most eyes on them in their history. From the UFC point of view, I agree with Duke.
This guy makes money. Let's try and keep the belt on him.
That's what I agree with you, but I just don't think they're going to do it. I know the way they've acted in the last everything. Their precedent
I wouldn't be surprised either way.
Just quickly, does Nate Diaz have to win in a month's time versus Dustin Poirier?
I think the Conor fight's always there.
Yeah, the Conor fight's there because even if he loses, they're both coming off a loss.
So they go back for number three and win the takes all.
But that fight's always there.
Nate Diaz coming off a win, he probably fights Khabib.
You reckon Nate Diaz versus Khabib? Nate and Conor can fight in 4 years and there's still a big
Khabib smashes Nate Diaz, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Khabib.
Yeah, he does. He smashes most people, I think. Yeah. I think that's proven now.
Who do you reckon if a Poirier and Diaz?
Poirier.
Beat him down like a Mississippi white boy.
Interesting times anyway, boys, for the UFC, no doubt about it. But this is a great question.
Thanks, Pat.
What do you get when you cross a former radio host,
two Biff merchants, and the human version of Viagra?
You get this.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Duke.
Season 3, episode 24 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is coming to a close. It was always going to be a big episode given what transpired at UFC 229 over the weekend. And three episodes left for us. Hopefully we'll get some sort of result out of what's going to happen to Khabib before the podcast goes off the air.
I'll have a fight announcement. I reckon I'll have a fight announcement.
Really?
Oh, geez, I hope so. I'm so sick of not having a fighter.
You've put the mockers on yourself. You haven't signed.
Plenty of leagues that have been due the last few weeks.
I told people 6 weeks ago there was a fight announcement on the way.
Yeah.
Well, you weren't lying.
Yeah, it was signed. We were ready. We were going. And it fell through again. So, but there's something in the works, ladies and gentlemen. Right. Mainly gentlemen, I think. But.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get to that hopefully next week. Benny, any word on you as far as fighting and stuff? What's happening?
I hadn't done any.
We're back to training this week, but...
Yeah, we're getting back into it this week.
Ben's going to punch me in
the head. A couple of weeks off for obvious reasons. We'll get back into it this week and we'll see what happens.
Very, very nice. All right, well, uppercut. We're going to give an uppercut to...
The guy in the red shirt!
He jumped
in the cage and dog-shotted Connor. Fair enough, it's a brawl and it's all happening, but if...
From behind...
If Connor's already...
He didn't collect him properly either. If you're going to do that, at least wind up and get him properly.
Like that's just a full dog act.
Connor would have been stuffed from what he'd just gone through. That was only 30, 40 seconds after the fight finished.
It's a coward punch, he looked like
he was gone.
It's a straight-up coward punch.
Yeah, so old mate in the red shirt, this one is for you. That's a cracker. That would have knocked him out. If he'd done that to Connor, it would have been all over.
Can you imagine if that happened? I've got a question for you. Imagine if that happened in Australia with the amount of attention that cow punches get, and then you had the other bloke, for example, the other fighter saying, no, don't worry about pressing charges.
The DPP would have come
in Australia. They would have even think twice about not going, mate.
Yeah, he'd be in jail for a long time. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. 100% can't do that. You can't.
unless the bleeding lefties, you'd be like, oh yeah, but he comes from a third world country. He's a minority, and let's give him a refugee status.
He's a Greens voter. No, not at all. But
it was like it was in slow motion. You just saw this bloke. Hop, have a look at that guy. What's he got? Yeah, oh, he just dog shot at Conor McGregor.
Yeah,
can't dog shot Conor McGregor. Hats off to Conor McGregor for not pressing charges, but snitches get stitches.
It is interesting that he didn't do that. But
why is it? Yeah, why didn't he do it, boys?
Because he's not a cat. It's where he comes from. You know, take a hit, you throw a hit.
Yeah, he's probably thinking, you know what? I just talk shit about their whole country. I got hit once, didn't hurt.
I'm more upset about the loss. I don't deal with the police. Police aren't my friends for what happened last time. You know. Yeah. I wouldn't tell the cops even if I got dog-shotted after I'd made fun of someone's family and race. I just cop it on the chin.
On the back of the ear.
Cop it on the back of the temple.
Cop it on the mohawk.
Didn't hit the nerve cluster enough, obviously. Three episodes to go, folks, and then we're done for
did
the
Did we actually
year.
Give the uppercut or we just spoke
yeah,
about
no,
it?
Yeah, we did it. It was great.
Good. You listening today or what?
CTE.
No, I threw it, man. I remember.
We will be back next week. Plenty to talk about, so make sure you join us then. And on that, I'll say get a big black dog up. Yeah.
Don't miss me too much, Canberra.
3 weeks to go.
Three weeks of no editing swear words. Ben's back once. Herb Albert swearing and away we go. Deary mate.
Well, that's a wrap. And let me guess what happened in this episode.
Duke and Ben argued over who was Canberra's favourite fighting star.
Steve pronounced some ethnic sports folks' surnames correctly.
And Scotty said something about the Newcastle Knights and tried to impress Edwards with a top five.
Am I right? Yeah, thought so. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast couldn't be made possible without our wonderful, long-standing sponsor, The Butcher Shop Kayleen.
Wrap your gob around one of their sausages. You'll love it.
Till next time.